Good morning, 7:41 here on the Mighty 690. First of the month, so it means that it's time for our monthly conversation with Representative Doug Blex, who joins us on the line. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning to you. Have a good day.
Yeah, no, it's kind of wild to already feel like turning over the calendar to January, something that I haven't bothered to do yet. So it's already bit me once today, but hey, we'll make it happen. How are you getting started here with the start of the month? I know normally we have the revenue numbers, but I know we haven't gotten those yet. So I know you wanted to talk just a little bit about the interim water committee, and I know that's a topic that water being on everyone's mind as we head into, well, what's already been kind of a dry August, and it's not looking too promising here in the near immediate future.
No, it is. It's rather unusual for our normal 42 inches of rain in our area, so water was a discussion. This past week, I went up to Topeka for 3 days, and in that process covered, we have what we call interim committees, which is a combination of senators and representatives making up on discussing issues. We hear a lot of really important testimony. Had 3 full days from 9 till a little past 5, even on a couple of them, to cover topics, have experts come in and testify. And one of the things we had some updates on was the water issue and the bill. But we also got coming before us in this legislative session a water right issue. And water rights in Kansas is first in time, first in right, which means if I file a year ahead of you, then I have a senior right compared to you. So if there is any water coming down a creek and I have a allocation to pump, then I get it first. So we heard a little report from David Pope, who was a retired chief engineer for Kansas I don't know, 83 through 207, a long time. And he gave a lot of history about particularly Cheyenne Bottoms, which has some water right issues. And basically what it boils down to is do ducks and wildlife have a priority over humans? And certainly that's a controversial topic that could be discussed for days, but basically, if you have a senior water right, even if it's for wildlife, then basically it takes precedent over somebody that maybe want to grow in corn. So we heard a lot of background on that, Cheyenne Bottoms and all the controversy, the public meetings, long history of a lot of issues. And a lot of people don't understand the chief engineer. Actually, when you get an impairment, if I file an impairment on you, which basically says you're taking my water, then the chief engineer has to act. And he almost is in the case, serves as a role of a judge, and he hears all the testimony back and forth and then makes a decision based on the evidence. So water can get, you know, the old saying is people drink whiskey, but they fight over water, and there's a lot of truth in that. So certainly when we get into situations where we have extreme drought. But, you know, like Cheyenne Bottoms is the largest wetland in any continental United States, over 20,000 acres, very significant for shorebirds. About 70% of the shorebirds stop there on a wintering and a migration stop to rest up and get food. So, and it has a water right of 1945, so really an old one. And on the water committee coming up in this coming session, we will be discussing the same thing on Quivira, which is a federal refuge south and east of Great Bend. So had a really good a day of a lot of background information and a lot of history that brings in how things got to where they are, and a good, excellent committee meeting.
Well, that is good, and I know we appreciate all your efforts there on the water situation, and we are, you know, I know here in the area, keeping a pretty close eye on the levels that Quivira Boy Scout Ranch Lake, and I know, unfortunately, those levels are starting to go down again. They were holding steady, but they are decreasing once again, so just hoping that we can keep conserving water until we get another rain.
Yes, that's true, and we also had an update on the House Bill 2302, which is the one I carried on water in the House, and basically looks like a timeline now as far as implementation, as far as getting grant money and project money out to cities and communities and groups will probably be after the first of the year, which I kind of was hoping it might get in October, November, but I don't think that's going to happen. They're trying to do it right, and they're short-staffed, but hopefully cities will be able to, to submit a project application to either retire a water right or a water indebtedness or at least get some help. So that's kind of the update on the water. We had a really good session.
Well, that's very good. We appreciate all your work on that. So I know that there has been lots of talk of mental health, and I know even I'm out of your area, but in South Central Kansas, talking about a new mental health hospital and that sort of thing. But I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the mental health intervention team here this morning.
Yeah, a lot of folks don't know that. I think the pilot was started in 2019 out at Dodge City, a school district out there. And basically, you know, everyone has a concern about mental health. And it seems like, and I'll talk about suicide a little bit later if we have time. But what the legislature done is they appropriated money for the schools to have a liaison in that school district. Now, this isn't a school counselor, that like a guidance counselor, that would basically set you on a career path that you might have a lifelong profession in. But this basically is a person that would be dedicated to recognizing mental health issues and problems and that. And we spent, there's 286 school districts in the state of Kansas. And 90 of these school districts currently have liaisons in them, and that person would specialize in mental health issues. And it's open to all the school districts, and in our area, Independence, Coffeyville, Cowley County, Elk County, both have liaisons in it. And what that person does is, they serve as an interim and a vehicle to contact a mental health resource center and in our area, such as Ford County. And a parent can refer, contact that liaison and refer their child to that. A teacher can refer it to that liaison that, hey, this little Johnny or Billy is having some problems. Could you talk to him? Or a student, a fellow student, his buddy can refer him to him, or the person can be self-referable. And what that does is that will immediately put it in contact with a mental health provider, and they respond. And like in our area, like I said earlier, it's Ford County, and it's working really, really well. We're seeing a lot of contacts. It's bringing mental health issues that sometimes still has that stigma involved with it that, we don't sometimes really want to talk about. But anyhow, there are positions around, and they're required to have a bachelor's for that liaison position. And 75% of the funding will go to the school to pay that salary, and then 25% of the funding would go to the mental health center. But working real well, seeing a lot of good, positive things from that, and hopefully we can lower some of our suicide rates.
Sure, and I know we do still have a few minutes here, and I know you wanted to talk just a little bit about some of those suicide issues here in Kansas and also some prevention options and some resources available out there.
Yeah, and we a couple of years ago we passed a the hotline similar to 911, which is 988, which is a suicide prevention, and that is a federal program. And basically, right now there's four regional contact centers in Kansas, one in Douglas, Shawnee, Sedgwick, and Johnson County, and number five is going to go into Wyandotte County, and probably number six will be in southeast Kansas. So they would be a phone call in, and where if a person's contemplating suicide or has some problems, that you'd be able to contact that crisis center, and they'd be able to roll if there's not anybody maybe locally available for contact. And of course, what stems a lot of these problems and what we hear from and what kind of brings it to is law enforcement personnel in our area. They will usually get a call that say, hey, somebody's about to commit suicide. Sometimes that call will be from the individual themselves. And law enforcement, for the most part, aren't trained to kind of deal with that. And the person hasn't really committed a crime, so they really can't put them in jail to, you know, really for any reason or hold them any time. So if they need help, then those centers will roll them over. It's a place for law enforcement and contacts, and hopefully we can expand that. You know, number-wise, 66% of youth suicides, and this is kind of was really revealing to me, between the ages of 10 to 17, was already receiving mental health services. In other words, they may have had an attempt suicide, or they're talking about suicide. So I thought, boy, you know, if we're dealing with 66% of those youth suicides of 10 to 17, they're making some contact there. That's really pretty scary.
No, that is, and that's something that is troubling, and I know that various people, it doesn't seem to be one specific cause. Obviously, it seems to be a variety of different factors that have people have credited with, unfortunately, pushing these numbers and these statistics higher. I mean, obviously, we know that social media seems to play a part in it. But in addition, in the recent COVID-19 pandemic, of course, certainly hasn't helped things.
Yes, and you know, national trends has increased, and you know, right now, suicide in Kansas ranks the number two cause of death for ages 10 through 44. So it is prevalent out there, and they're working to develop an app on your phone that it will prepare you to, you know, have a little suicide prevention map on the phone, and certainly... we see some trends, like young males seemingly have a higher rate, almost three times that of females, although females have more attempts that are failed, which is good, but at least it's not a final solution to issue. But they're doing a lot of study and finding out a lot of things. And, you know, personally, my own personal opinion, I think, you know, our social media is an issue that we never had to deal with when I was growing up, and we weren't, our bullying or some of the contacts were directly a direct confrontation, and now you go home from school and you can supposedly be bullied on your phone, and you know, and during those teenage years, that's pretty difficult. They're struggling, and so. But a lot of people just are unhappy. I mean, we've taken a lot of prayer out of schools, and a lot of our moral compass seems to be a little bit skewered from what it was.
Yeah, no, it is. It is definitely a bit of a problem, and I know that doesn't seem to be, get a lot of press here. But you know, the nuclear family is another thing that has been under attack in some parts, and I know that that there's been some research, at least in previous years, saying that you know, having that strong core of a nuclear family really can help a child's well-being. Of course, it seems almost that that's a bit taboo anymore to talk about, unfortunately.
Yes, and you're spot on there, and we discussed that too. And you know, statistics show that, you know, they're a lot more likely, if not having a father and a mother in a home as what was intended, can, you know, and certainly divorce and temporary interruptions, but you know, long term it does have an impact on kids, and it seems like you know, kids now have access to much more information. You would think they would be insulated from some of that issues, but it's almost a case of information overload. But we will be tackling that. I am on the mental health committee, and it will be some heavy lifting. We've continued to provide, you know, funding for that, and looking at ways that we can certainly slow down that problem. And so I think we're going to have some, maybe some additional legislation coming this January that will help cover some things, certainly expansion of teams, like I said, this mental health intervention. Sometimes people just need to talk to somebody, and it's kind of a lot of times we had one person give a report. A lot of it is an impulse that they finally do it. They may have some behavioral issues, you know, and they may have, you know, a crisis in their life, and they just need to get through that. So if we can do something that will give them some intervention, then hopefully we can slow it down.
All right. Well, Representative Doug Blex, it always seems that our time runs short, but I do appreciate you coming by here today, and I look forward to chatting again here next month, and I hope you have a great September.
Yes, we will. I'm starting all the parades, Labor Day celebrations. I have a lot of small towns, and you know, Cedarvale and Atlanta and Elk City all this next week, so we'll have some fun, and the kids will get some candy.
All right, Representative Doug Blex, thanks so much, and we have got news coming up.